Courtside of the virtual hardwood, it's the NLSC podcast, episode number 265. I'm Andrew, with you as always. With me this week, as he so often is Ben, also known in the forum as Arcane.
Hey, everyone.
2 weeks in a row. It's better than we've been doing in recent months, Ben.
Yeah. hopefully we can continue a good streak.
So hopefully we can be refreshed, as we said last week. We are back on the air, looking to shake things up, looking to bring everyone an interesting podcast week after week here on the NLSC. The NLSC podcast, of course, episode number 265. And we've got some fun topics to discuss today. Not a great deal of news, but a few things that have happened in the basketball gaming community that we can talk about. So let's tip things off by talking about some NBA Live 19 updates. Of course, we cover these in basically whenever we do a podcast. We talk about recent updates for the games. And NBA Live 19, Ben, has been pushing through, EA's been pushing through, I should say, for NBA Live 19 updates pretty much on a weekly basis these days. And not just the in-game content updates, but basically the numbered title updates, although some of them they're referring to as content updates, so they come through the dashboard.
I think, you know, that given some of the fact that a lot of these little updates that aren't quite so little, you know, because they include a lot of art files and stuff, whether it be faces, items for the store, for the live events and all that stuff. I'm guessing, you know, preparing for the city jerseys and stuff like that that are should be probably being unveiled, well, have been all unveiled now, but you know, probably released in game, you know, in the coming days
when they're added. And 2K does the same thing these days with those with the new jerseys. And you're right, there's definitely new art files coming through. The latest patch, which is 1.13, has a lot of likeness updates as well, including some big names, Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, just to name two all-star players that got likeness updates in 1.13.
Yeah. Skylar Diggins and Liz Cambage.
A lot of WNBA players too, so they're updating that, which is great. Also pushing through, as you said, the live update data, updating the game to have the new artwork in there, the new one-store items, things like that. So absolutely, they're pushing through new art updates, and there's usually a couple of tweaks, a couple of fixes in each update as well. But there has been a little bit of unrest in the NBA Live community. People getting these updates every week, and they're significant now. They're about 5 gigs, and we certainly know about that with 2K getting the big updates whenever they come through. But that they are significant in terms of art files, as you noted. But there is that bit of unrest, a bit of dissatisfaction and frustration in the community at the moment, because people are getting these patches and they really want more, because I think people want more gameplay tweaks and content beyond clothing. And I'm seeing a lot of frustration that most of the new updates are clothing for the events, and people saying, well, we really want something more substantial than these brand clothing for our one players and things like that. And it is understandable, and I don't really get excited about that stuff for players either. I don't really play the live events for that stuff. Really, if I'm going to play live events, I really just do it for the experience of playing the game. I don't really, unless there's something particularly cool, like NBA gear that I want, like the Pippen jersey last year in Live 18. Yeah. It doesn't really interest me that much, so I definitely feel it. And it's not like Live hasn't pushed through some significant updates. I mean, adding the player editing to franchise and things like that. But I can understand why people are frustrated, because they do want a bit more of a substantial update and certain tweaks and fixes and maybe new animations, things like that. And I think certainly Live, as it continues over the next month or so, should be doing some more of those big updates, and hopefully we do get some more, because the community, they're not really that keen on some of the content that's come through, I feel, and I feel them on that one.
I can understand in part, and you know, there's a few I can understand, like, and even for me, like some of the content, like the art content, you know, I wish they would be a little bit better in. Like, I admit, 2K at times, like adding, for instance, shoe updates and that more on a regular basis. So, and you know, for me, that's an interest there.
Sure.
You know, it's just something I wish Live would get a little bit. I mean, they've added a few, especially with the Bape stuff, but the Bape stuff doesn't really just me. They've added some Cumas now, which is good as well. But yeah, just a few things I kind of wish in that area they'd speed up. 2K did get the city jerseys in a lot quicker. I know they've only just started wearing them within the last, like, 24, 48 hours and that. So I can understand EA sort of more waiting until all of them were unveiled, which I only think just sort of happened again within the last 24 hours, that they've all sort of been unveiled. So yeah, I mean, content side of that, yes, I think a little bit more sooner than later kind of stuff I'd like to see. But yes, I know they've added some new animations. They added a lot of new audio as well in one of the updates recently, I think maybe in 1.10, I think it is, or 1.10.
They've added a lot of new commentary. Absolutely. That's true.
But yeah, I think in ways, yes, they can potentially do a bit better. We've got to remember that they are a smaller team compared to the games like FIFA and stuff like, maybe even technically 2K as well. They might not be as, I can't remember the exact amount of staff member. The Madrid office is only still, it's again, that's a small addition. And you know, there'll still be filling positions there at this point, and then trying to grow that team naturally, as opposed to sort of being forced in that. So, you know, that's you know, potentially going to be about a year or two before, you know, be more substantial enough and efficient enough to what they want to get it and grow the studio to, you know, probably the size that they're hoping for. So that, you know, there's still little things for them to come around with. But yeah, I think we're only what, like a couple of games, like still less than about 15 games into the season. I know it's just because the games have been out a lot longer that it kind of could feel that way. That, you know, that not enough has been added into it. But what we've got to take into account too is the things that, you know, there hasn't been too much broken content or, you know, things they've had to fix. I think there's only just been one case, and it was two little quick little hot fixes within a space of 48 hours when they did have one little thing in that, that, you know. So the quality control of these patches in terms of the in terms of gameplay improvements in that has been better than some games.
They have been quick on fixing some of the issues.
Yeah.
There was an issue with the one-chord shoot-around that they took a couple of updates to fix, but apart from that, it's been pretty on point, yeah.
Yeah, and again, just the, it's like they're putting a little bit more testing in before they release it, which I don't mind. Like, I think that was one of the things that, you know, we can talk about where we've had frustrations with 2K in they've, you know, did they even test the patch, you know, with, you know, with some things that were broken in, and they'd have to release another patch to fix that, and sometimes that wouldn't even fix it. Like, take for instance the Jordan Tongue situation and other things in the past as well. So, you know, if it requires a little bit more time to make sure it's all right, I've got no problems with that personally, but I can understand the frustration of, like, yes, I'd like to see a few more gameplay improvements here and there as well. Again, some more animations, yes. But
tuning we have, as well is the other big thing, tuning gameplay. Although, with that being said, as we well know, 2K17 had a lot of problems where they were changing the gameplay from patch to patch, and it was...
Yeah, exactly.
So, on one hand, you don't want to have too much tuning that it is really changing the game so much from patch to patch, and that you are having this different experience, and it's good 1 week and then bad the next week, that kind of thing. You don't want to be making adjustments, but I think people do want to see a little bit more for issues that they've been reporting on, at least, and issues that have remained pretty much since launch. And that's not to say that we won't get another big patch, a big content and fix update, but I think it goes back to something that we've talked about a lot on the podcast with NBA Live, with this new direction and trying to bring people in and this new demographic they've talked about. And really, to compete with 2K, they need to also be, you know, going for the old demographic as well, because there's a lot of people playing 2K. There's what, sold 1.23 million, they reckon, at launch this year, and that's just physical sales, not digital as well. So 2K, again, has a huge user base. They're not, despite all the issues with 2K18, they haven't really lost users, I don't think. So to really eat into that, Live does need to up the NBA content, as we've said so many times. And like you said, the Madrid studio is definitely going to help, having the two studios to work on the game and work on different parts. But I think in the short term, there has to be a little bit more. Even if they do something like adding some extra teams, like if they brought back the European and International All-Stars and added a USA All-Star team, or added some Team Jordan and Adidas and that, those kinds of branded teams as well. Yeah. Or even if, and this would be a big thing, is if they made some of the Legends playable outside of Ultimate Team and added the old Decade All-Stars. Little things like that, and I know it's not the focus, but all those little things go a long way in really drawing people in and making them feel, okay, they're adding some new content to the game, and this content is more than just, oh, the bare minimum we need to make an NBA game, and it's more than just the one. And obviously they have added some big things like One Court Shootaround and that kind of stuff, and that's huge, but at the same time, it's all centered on the one, and there are people who don't like career modes or don't like online play, in which case they want franchise or even Ultimate Team. That's what they're interested in, and if that's not really delivering as much this year as we've said before, so it's hard to add stuff like that through the year. And again, they added editing players in franchise, which is also big. So it's, again, it's not like they haven't added anything, but yeah. I think they could be adding a little bit more beyond content, and I definitely hope they are still taking the feedback and doing some tweaking moving forward, because otherwise people are going to get sick of the game. And there are people who are saying, well, the game is good and the gameplay's improved, but the modes aren't there. All the people said gameplay is paramount, and it is, but I've been saying it for years. The depth has to be there in the modes. You only have to go back and look at NBA Live 06, which was the game on Xbox 360, the last generation, that really set NBA Live back, because NBA Live was going head-to-head with 2K in the PS2 original Xbox generation and the PC releases that we were getting there. You know, it was deep, the gameplay was pretty good. There were a couple of years there, like 2003, where it went too arcade. But once we got the sliders in, we were really enjoying the games. But it went to the next generation, didn't have franchise mode, didn't have dynasty mode in NBA Live 06 for 360. And Live has been playing catch-up ever since. So the modes really need to be there, because that's what keeps you hooked until the next game comes out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can only do so much of, like, a play now where...
Yeah. Yeah,
there's like so much invested interest you can have in that. So, yeah, definitely more diverse modes, features, and stuff like that.
And don't get me wrong, the WNBA content does fill some of that void as far as having above and beyond NBA stuff. But you can because they do have licensed the Legends, the NBA Legends, you can be doing more than that. And Ultimate Team's not for everyone, but people will play with those Decade All-Stars.
Yeah, and you know, they do also have some of their legends you can use in court battles and things like that.
Sure.
But it'd be nice to sort of take that away from the online stuff and, you know, definitely have it in a sort of single player offline modes and all that stuff as well. So I think there could be some good ways they could utilize those players more and, you know, to cater for, yeah, definitely the offline and the online audiences. Hopefully, you know, again, if we get the feedback to them, you know, have, I suppose, enough signatures and stuff like that on it, who knows, it might draw enough interest for them to do it. You know, it might be something we could look at doing, and, you know, say in like an online forum and that, or whether we set a poll like on Twitter, get people to maybe agree or disagree with it.
Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, you could send in the results. And
any kind of feedback like that is...
Yeah.
It's got to be, you know, anything that demonstrates the interest. We're collecting feedback on it in the forum at the moment. A few people have been joining in there, and I'm compiling that, and we're going to organize it and post it over on the Reddit, because that's where the subreddit, because that's where they're checking it, the official NBA Live subreddit over there, on Reddit, obviously. So I'll be doing that as far as, you know, we always send our feedback through, but I do hope they listen to that. And... one thing that 2K has done really well, you know, obviously they've done a great package overall for many years now. That's why they're on top, despite even the fact that people are unhappy with the microtransactions and everything. You know, as for all the missteps 2K has made, they've also put out a great product for a long time. You know, it hasn't always been perfect. There's been some games we've liked more than others, but overall for many years they've done this great content, deep modes, gameplay that most people do like for the most part. So... and that's been one of their strengths, is that you've got the Legends, for example. I know I keep harping on that, but you've got Legends in Ultimate Team. You've got the retro teams. You've got the
all-time
teams now as well. So you can use Legends in Ultimate Team if you want to collect them and have a mix of current and former players or former players and take them through all the things you can do in Ultimate Team, the card collecting mode, the team building mode.
Like the My League, where you can
You can do that. You've got now retro draft classes in 2K19, so that you can which you can also use in My League Online. So a lot of the content can be used all over the place or throughout the game to a certain extent, whereas in NBA Live, it's all there in compartments. It's all separated into the different modes. The historical players are only there in Ultimate Team. You can't sign them. They're not available in a Legends pool like back in the day. They don't have any special teams. And it's hard for them to compete with 2K, because 2K does have a lot of players licensed that Live doesn't. They've got all the retro teams and everything. But Live doesn't necessarily have to compete with them on that respect. They don't have to do better. They just have to do something. And that's the same with Franchise. Franchise is not going to catch up to My League in the space of a year, especially with the smaller team. But it can be a little bit more than it is now. And it's nice that it's been slowly getting back to where it was and getting the player editing and things like that. But moving forward, there's definitely stuff that needs to happen. But even if it's tweaking little things like having more CPU trades and CPU trade offers, so if they can tune things like that, and that's the big thing, is that features may not be able to come in via patches, but tuning can, and a little bit of tuning, and it gets a little better. I mean, we've seen it with gameplay, we've seen it with modes, so I do hope that they are still open to that feedback and can make those changes, because I think they could be doing a little bit more with the NBA Live 19 updates. I think you made a great point that it is only a couple of or a few weeks into the season, a month into the season or so, and the games are coming out very early, so it feels like we've had them for ages, even though it's only been about a month worth of season. So there's still a lot in the gaming season for this year. I mean, it's all the way till the NBA Finals, of course, for content, and then a little bit in the off-season, presumably, both games will do. So that is definitely a fact of it. I think people are seeing it, and they're saying, well, most focus this past couple of years has been the one, which is not a bad idea at all, but it's made it a very tunnel vision, so to speak. It's made it... having that much focus on the one has seen other modes not really get the attention that they need to really keep everyone locked onto the game. So if they can do anything with as far as getting more content updates for other modes or updating gameplay, pushing a few other things through for modes, it's going to go a long way. And if the game can grow, and then obviously they're in a great position for NBA Live 20.
Yeah, I mean, any little step in the right direction, or in a positive direction, is obviously going to build, definitely, and especially coming up to what would be the next gen, and that you don't want to have the misstep like when they did when the 360 and PS3 came out. You know, you don't want to have to go through that uphill process again. So any steps you do now to build towards that major change again, yeah, it's a long way back, as EA has seen over the years and that. So you definitely want to minimize the chances of having to go through that again.
And as far as updates, as far as clothing and everything is concerned, they can still be doing that, but maybe they do need to be adding more shoes, as you said, and for both your one player and NBA players.
Yeah.
More other live events have more of them, where they're unlocking players or NBA gear. You know, people are not necessarily interested in Bape and those kinds of brands, but they'll definitely want to unlock retro jerseys or shoes, or if they can unlock Legends, for example, to use on their court battles. If they mix up the live event rewards a little bit, I think people will be happier with that content. So it's really about delivering not just the gameplay updates and even some mode updates and tweaking that we've talked about, but even just in the live events and court battles and things like that, just things that are people a bit more interested in. So I hope they are open to feedback again in that regard, because they can be doing some good things. They've obviously got the tech to push through the new content and fun stuff. So it's just a matter of doing the right thing, I guess, and really doing stuff that appeals to the user base.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? They might be having a theme and a pattern. You know, each month they might, you know, do something different as the season goes on, and that. So we don't know the entire plans of what they might have planned for what they plan to release and that in terms of things. And so, you know, we'll obviously see a lot of variation in things that they release with the one stuff and that, and We're seeing a lot of creators and stuff like that. And I think there's been one that was just added the other day. So they are doing a lot, but yeah, and making it interesting and like a service type thing, like what Fortnite does with its events and stuff like that. But yeah, I think definitely any chance of any little gameplay improvements, if they continue putting those out, and yeah, if they can get something more to the offline stuff and to flesh out some modes and definitely make use of those legends you have, you definitely can't go wrong there.
It's about the NBA content, and I know they're trying to get this new generation of gamers, this new demographic, but the demographic they're going after are playing 2K. And so, to a certain extent, they need to offer what 2K is, a version of it, basically. So they can't ignore that. And I know they're trying to get it in with a lot of content creators, and I know that pushes the game out, but they also need to be listening to the old guard. There are times when I certainly feel that people like us have been shuffled to the side. You know what I mean? And it's. And I'm trying to be diplomatic about that, but we have been around for 22 years, and maybe they feel that they need some fresh ideas and fresh voices, which is fine. But I mean, I think we have a lot to offer. I think a lot of the old guard has a lot to offer as ideas. They know what made Live successful back in the day. They know what makes 2K successful now. And I do hope that the development team are open to it, and I hope that there are people who are not trying to filter out some of that important feedback. I think they have been very open to the feedback so far, but I also hope that they continue to be that way, and that they're not just focusing on a demographic that is more flaky, that hasn't got these ideas that are going to help them compete with 2K. And at the end of the day, they just need more NBA content, because it is NBA Live, and what a lot of people say, it is NBA Live, not Streetball Live, or the Streets Live, or something like that, or NBA Street. And certainly incorporating those ideas, I think, has been a great hook. But hooks alone do not make a great deep basketball game and a sim-oriented game. And if people want to have that, do they want to be niche, or do they want to compete with 2K? Because I think they're building towards where they're making progress every year and getting closer and closer to really competing with 2K. But hopefully they can make use of this feedback and the Madrid studio moving forward. But whatever they can do in the meantime, I hope they certainly do, and that the game continue to grow, because so that we do have the two alternatives.
Yeah, exactly.
So we will see what happens there. We will, of course, continue to report on the updates as they come through. Speaking of NBA 2K, I know you're still on your boycott at the moment, Ben, or enjoying Live 19, as the case may be, and other games, of course.
But it's also the fact that I'll be away for a few weeks, so it's no point buying until after I get back at this point.
Absolutely. So it's, but you haven't gotten into it yet. Other members of the NLSC squad, Thrill Ho and Grind Time, and whatever else we call ourselves this year. Well, we haven't been able to play Pro-Am because you need five players. That has been the problem. So indeed, we played a bit more of the Jordan Rec League on Friday night. Myself, X, and Valor. Had some. We had one game of the Jordan Rec Center, and it took a long time to get a game because Kenny, of course, is in the U.S. at the moment, in Denver. He took in a Nuggets game. Hopefully, get him back on the podcast when he gets back, and he can tell us all about his adventures in the States about that. But because there was the three of us, it's even harder to get a game. Now, of course, last year, if we had three, no problem. We just head to the team arena and with the three of us, and we get a game. This year, you need the five. So, of course, we headed over to the Jordan Rec Center. And we waited and waited for teammates to show up, and because we haven't paid any money to get extra VC and grind up, our overall ratings aren't particularly high at the moment. We all tend to play a bit better than the ratings would indicate, but people, as you know, they look at the overall, and that's people focus too much on the overall in general when it comes to basketball games. But they see the overall, and of course, we've only played a couple of games, so the records aren't stellar, and we're not 150-7 or something in the game. So people look at the record and go, oh, okay, low rated players, don't want to play with them. So it was hard to get a couple of teammates. It's hard enough to get one sometimes, but to get two was a particular challenge, and we almost gave up on it. But eventually we got a game. We had a player who was 90 overall. He'd won a lot of games. He was something like 150-30 or something. So he'd been playing a lot of games, but wasn't particularly fond of us and was trying to do too much for himself. And the two plays we had were basically kind of maybe they felt a bit left out because we were all in the squad and they weren't, but yeah. They were hogging the ball a bit. All the usual random online teammate stuff that we've talked about before. Basically, the 90 overall player who he got sick of the fact we got off to a bit of a slow start and just started to throw the game, basically. He started to play point guard, which was like, oh, great, well, that's great. I'm the point guard, so it was a bit frustrating for me to watch him bring the ball up the court and lose it over and over and throw away passes and everything and just tossing up shots and three-pointers, even though he was a post-scorer, you know. So he was trying to throw the game, and eventually he quit. And after that, we actually had a bit of a run with the other guy, started playing well, and we almost came back and made a game of it. So it just goes to show how we could have actually been competitive if he'd sucked it up and buckled down and we'd competed. But it goes to show how bad the whole situation is with random teammates and the fact that we can't play Pro-Am with less than five players this year. We're stuck with this, and you just don't have a great experience.
Yeah, well, I can admit, like, I was playing playing some of the live events, and I think even like the 3-on-3 live run, and yeah, I had a similar experience where this person wanted to do it all, so I was like, all right, you can do it. This was not a fun game for me to play, so I was like, didn't care if win or lose, you know. It was just for me, it must have been a live event because there was a crate to unlock items and stuff for winning it, so yeah, it would have been a live event, but yeah, just didn't care, and just person wanted to do it all, so I was like, fine.
Oh, I've had the same problems with playing 3-on-3 myself with live run, you know.
Yeah.
If you don't play with people you know, you don't have a good experience, which again goes back to this whole approach they've done this year with not being able to play Pro-Am or the Jordan Rec Center with less than five players aside. And I know what they're going for. They're trying to make it more than the 2K League. But if you can't get a game, you're not going to get into the mode, and you're probably not going to get into the league either. You know, wouldn't logic dictate?
Yeah.
So, not a good move there at all. I really hope they make it. They patch that in. There's a lot of people asking for it, but so far, no luck in that regard. But the funny thing is, we went to the playground after this, and we actually played with our crew. X marks the spot, because X made it this year. and the funny thing is with the crew, Ben, is much like Pro-Am, you've got to level up to actually get different things like even uniforms and things like that. So if you play as part of a crew, you don't actually play with your normal playground outfit. So we got in there and we're like, why are we all playing in the gray sweats and the brown shirt? And we realized, oh, it's the crew, and you got to unlock the uniform to actually play as a crew. So if you squat up and you're actually playing as part of a crew, you actually don't get, you can play with a uniform, but you've got to get there. You got to level up a little bit first, which means you've got to win games, obviously, which is an incentive, I guess. But yeah, so you're playing as the brown shirts, and I know it was kind of fun, actually, the silliness of us all being the brown shirts in this crew. But the funny thing is we actually had a lot of fun. And Valor in particular, as we know, is not a big fan of the playground. You and I and Kenny, we had some fun games in 2K17. And even 2K18, when we went to the playground a couple of times with X, we had some good games. But normally we are more pro-am, I guess. But just with the three of us, we went to the playground. And yeah, it was actually more fun. Because we got a game, we got multiple games for a start. We didn't have to wait around. We could play with the three of us. We didn't have to have any random people joining in and spoiling the fun and whatever. So even though there are some drawbacks with that, and there's a lot of people in the park who are more experienced in that style of play and they've leveled up with a lot of grinding or paying the fees for the VC, it was actually more enjoyable. So it seems like, of all things, we're trying to get a My League Online going this year. We'll probably be playing that amongst ourselves. We did a bit of testing about that the other night as well. But as far as online goes, against other people, not just against each other with My League Online, it seems that the playground is the way to go, at least until they hopefully make a change to the Rec Center and Pro-Am.
Oh, well, that's, you know, disheartening, especially, you know, if they got the whole 2K League. You know, you think they'd want to have all that definitely sorted sometime soon before, you know, chance to enter that.
I mean, wouldn't you think that it would be more logical to get more people playing the mode and get hyped about it to then get more hyped about the league? You would think that would be the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot with it not working.
I mean, it's not functioning.
Like as well as it should be in that. So, probably by the time, say, because it'd probably be around January or something like that, that they probably have like the trials and that for it. It was like people probably just be over it, and it's like, what's the point?
Well, pretty much, and they do have the trial going on at the moment. You've got to win 100 games at the moment.
Oh, okay, so they're up to that stage. Okay,
with a better than 500 record, basically. So the, yep. they're already doing that, and but here's the thing: they are focusing so much on the league, and just like Live isn't doing enough with the NBA side of things, and they're moving in that direction. 2K is moving more towards the whole elite gamer and esports scene. So yep. Again, all these loyal gamers who do want to play competitively, because that's when you talk about competitive and casual play, because you know with gamers, it's the whole thing is casuals, so those filthy casuals. But with online play, casual doesn't necessarily mean casual, if you know what I mean. And I refer again to Rocket League here, where they have competitive and casual, and casual is still a competitive setting, but it's more like a social league, like people who want to play. And they want competition, they want to play well, but it's not necessarily, they're not looking to rank, they're not
looking to be world's number one.
They're not looking to get into esports or anything, they're just looking to get in and play some games, and certainly compete and try to win, but it's something they might do every, like we do, every Friday night, you know, for our gaming sessions. It's more of a weekly thing, whereas they're making it more like the 2K League. Look, the 2K League has got people there, they're drafting people, they're paying them, they're making them professional gamers, so of course they're going to always have five people there. Yep. But for people who are playing once or twice a week, just want to get on there and get a game, they're making it a lot harder, a lot less appealing. So they're really pushing out a big portion of their fan base and really catering to the elites. And there's no need to do one or the other when you could simply when you can have both the competitive and casual, or people who are really into the whole league scene, and then people who just want to get on once or twice a week, you know, and have those games. So they're just not really offering, and the fact that they offered it in the past, that's the big thing, is that it's moving more and more away. It's again like they do with the microtransactions.
Take out 1 year and then bring it back behind potentially a paywall.
One step forward, two steps back. It's frustrating. It's much like the microtransactions, is that it's just a gradual thing, and people say, why you didn't complain in the past. Well, in the past that wasn't the problem, but it's been a slow build. Just like the microtransactions. It's like, they've been in the game since 2K13. Yeah, and they've gotten more and more intrusive and expensive and pushy as the years have gone past. And as that's happened, more and more people have pushed back. So the whole asinine argument, you didn't complain in the past. Well, it wasn't a problem in the past. So people don't
We were always vocal the moment it came in. And it was And, you know, we were stating how far they're going to push it. And yeah, we were always on the ball with it, and thinking it. So
we called it, not to sound smug, but we absolutely called it. And I wish I'd called this as well. But at the same time, it's allowed me to play other modes. I've finally started my My League. I did the start today. Doing it on PC. I'm taking the Bulls, starting with that. I fired Hoiberg, funnily enough. But interestingly, I brought in Tyronn Lue. Only because he was the only real coach in the free agent pool, the coaching free agent pool. There's a guy in there called Lucas, who I almost hired just for the ridiculousness of him having two names. So I don't know what the deal with that is. But anyway, I've started my story topic in the story section of the forum.
Sorry to interrupt. Didn't the Bulls also have a player called Lucas the Third?
John Lucas the Third, yeah.
But yeah, him in.
The son
of Lucas the Third.
Son of former All-Star John Lucas with the Rockets and other teams. Lucas all around with the Bulls. Yeah. So I've been able to do that, but we still like to get online. And it's something that was talked about in the Reddit post last year, where the person who the developer who worked on another MMORPG was really talking about how 2K is going in this path where they're really cozying up to elite players, and he noted how they were doing things like cutting out the tutorial modes and things like that. Of course, 2KU is quite comprehensive, actually. It's a really good in-game manual, but we used to have the training camp. You remember the training camp features in like 2K 11, 12, 13?
Yeah.
Like teaching people a move. So it's again, they're pushing out, and it's not even, maybe some of them are casual fans. I mean, there's a lot of people who, I guess, play casually. They're basketball fans, and they like playing basketball games, but not necessarily hardcore about it, to the point that some of us are. And then there's different grades as far as online play. But, yeah, and I've talked about it on a couple of podcasts already, but you know, we haven't had a lot of podcasts since the games came out, I suppose, so it's mostly been in articles. But I just think it's a form of gatekeeping, and it's... Sure, the playground has been fun, and we're looking at playing some other things like My League Online, and that could be fun too, and hopefully is, but, you know, it's just a shame that a mode that has been so appealing, and is such a great idea, you know, for all the negative experiences we've had every so often with Pro-Am and whatnot, it's the concept is still great, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a good social way to keep up, and, the creative tools and being able to create courts, jerseys, and things like that was fun for people like me and that sort of sense. And yeah, trying to make fun team names and things like that, like our Thrill Hero team, and
we had fun with the branding. And
yeah,
if nothing else, even if the gameplay didn't always go the way we wanted, and we did stop playing 2K18 very early compared to 2K17, mm-hmm. which we basically played up until the launch of 2K18. It's just been fun, and I think there is room to have those different levels where you have the competitive setting where you need to rank up and have multiple tiers and multiple rankings and within each tier, much like they do in Rocket League. Again, it's just Rocket League has just done it so well that it really, I think, is a standard. And you also look at Rocket League's esports league and how successful that is. You know, 2K could stand to learn. I mean, I know they think they're untouchable. I know they think they're the brand leader, and yeah, they kind of are in basketball gaming. But they're new to esports, and certainly when it comes to their online experience, they don't do it as well as other games. So they could definitely be standing to look at it. Have these tiered systems for the competitive ranking, and also have a casual ranking where, yes, you track stats and you track win and loss records, and you can maybe even have a little bit of different matchmaking there. But it's not the cream of the crop. The cream of the crop is going to go to the competitive. That's where people are going to be trying to get into the 2K league. And then you've got people who want to play it as a social league, a social competition, you know, just like your local basketball comp, basically.
Yeah.
So they could be doing it that way so easily, but they don't want to do it. They want to cozy up. They want to have these deals with the league. They want to have the, you know, this esports league, and they want to do all this stuff, which is fine, but what does the league do for the rest of us? And we said this last year. What does the league do for the rest of us gamers? Right now, it's actually turning into a form of gatekeeping and ruining the online experience. That's what it's doing. It's not doing anything positive. And I think the more they do that, the more people are going to turn on the league. I mean, you saw the comments on the NBA Facebook page and everything last season for the 2K League. People are not kind to it to begin with. So... Yeah. If you're not getting that crossover with the NBA fans, because the NBA fans don't want it, and if the 2K fans are saying, well, I'm not going to support this because you're not supporting us as gamers, and also this isn't entertaining besides, as a lot of people were saying, you're doing something that people aren't interested in tuning in. And the numbers compared to other, you know, maybe sports gaming is a bit more niche than other things, you know, less people playing that than maybe some online shooters and things, but again, they could learn so much from Rocket League to make it not only for the esports, not only for the 2K League, but the general gamer as well. And it's the stubbornness that it's, I guess, it's, if it doesn't make the money, they don't do it. And that's what really frustrates me about 2K. If it doesn't make the money, it seems like it doesn't get fixed or done.
Yeah. And I agree with that. I think that's definitely where they've gone over the last few years. I mean, some of the legacy issue stuff, the servers, you know, how much they could be improved, and to try to minimize latency or just, you know, better connections and stuff like that for people, because you see people just lose connection entirely. And it's not just from DDoS attackers and stuff, or delays, as they're called. You know, there's just things that they could do to improve things.
And it's not like they're not making the money to do this. Like they,
yeah, exactly.
For example, we found out that the Oceania servers, Japan, that's where they're located, Japan.
Okay.
So you don't think they're making enough money through VC sales that they could also put one there for Southeast Asia and Australia and New Zealand? You know? I feel like they've got the money to do it. You know, it's not like they're shorter things. They can do all kinds of events. They can put out a copy of the game with is it Travis Scott who does did the soundtrack this year?
Yeah. Didn't they just announce like a special edition cover?
A special edition of that. Oh, great. Let's get the special edition with the person who did the soundtrack on the cover. Yeah. You know, as people were saying, well, thanks a lot for doing this when I spent $100 on the special edition, or $150 as it is in Australia. I didn't, because I couldn't be bothered spending that money. I definitely wasn't going to do it after 2K18, especially. But, I don't know, it just feels like they're doing all this, and they're in a position to do it because Live still needs to catch up, and it still needs to be competition, and people say Live just needs to go away. No, because it's getting better. Two, we need the competition. We needed 2K to be competition to Live back in the day. We need Live to be competition to 2K now. You know, and they both need to. As much as I think they've both done a good job this year, you know, I'm quite liking both. Enjoying both games this year more than last year. I still think there are things that are concerning about the direction of both games, and the whole thing with 2K looking at us as wallets before consumers and customers and loyal users. I mean, I know that's just business, but it still sucks. You know, people say, oh, well, that's just business. Like, I know what it is. I know it's business. I still don't think... I can still think it's a lousy way of doing business. So, for all the good things in 2K19, and I do think it is the game we should have received last year, and if you ever do get into it, Ben, I think you're going to enjoy it more than last year. But this stuff with Pro-Am and everything, it's nice that we have the playground. It's nice that we've got something to do online, but... yeah, I think they've just moved in such a bad direction there, and it's disappointing.
Yeah, I know. It's where they've been headed over the last few years and that, so... It is part of the reason why I haven't bought it, because I knew that there was going to be decisions that they make that will just screw up the game, or just make it not enjoyable. So, taking the bad with the...
I mean, I suppose you do that to a certain extent with any product, and no product is going to be perfect, but it does seem like they say, okay, you know, we've increased VC sales this year, and we've taken VC away from getting haircuts, because haircuts and everything are free. You still need to get to a certain overall level to get dye jobs and things like that. So, I mean, there's still some gatekeeping there, but it's like they've listened to that and say, okay, we're going to do that, but we're also going to make upgrades and clothing more expensive. So there's a trade-off there that it's never... The goodwill always comes at a price. When you can literally put a price on enjoyment, it's the game's not as enjoyable. That's what it comes down to.
And it's a shame, because it's all just coming down to, in the end, pleasing shareholders.
It is, and you have to do it. Again, we understand the business side of things, but there's also a creative side of things, and ultimately the bubble will burst if the games are not entertaining. How long is it going to last until people do rebel? Is it going to take Live getting a little bit better? Starting to make a dent, you know? And if it takes making a bit more of a dent for 2K to ease back on these things, but I hope that the voices will be heard on this. I hope that they do patch that in, because it's just something that really needs to be done, because it's just taken something that has such a great idea and a lot of people enjoy, but now you can't enjoy it unless you want to be, you know... the 1% that has a shot at the 2K league. You know, it's not catering to the most of the fan base, and they can talk about, and remember, 2K loves to talk about how many games they've sold and how many people are playing their games. So how about catering to that audience? You know, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree on that. It's just disappointing. It's short term satisfaction, and in terms of getting quick sale element in the long term, people will just walk away
eventually, and they won't play the modes, and I'd be interested to see how many people are actually playing, being able to get the five people together and play Pro-Am this year. Or maybe is everyone going to the Jordan Rec Center? Certainly not in our region of the world anyway, and that is the problem. I mean, maybe it's fine in the US, but yeah, well, I guess screw the rest of us, right? So we touched there on the whole fun and games of playing with random opponents, and we've played a lot of online games. We played over 500 games of Pro-Am in 2K17, as we've mentioned before, and we've been trying to play a bit of it this year as well, and last year we played a mixture of Playground and Pro-Am as well. And of course, we came across our share of not only random teammates that didn't really play well, but also unsportsmanlike play with online opponents as well. And this takes all kinds of shapes and forms, Ben. Let's see, there's the people who just turn it into a foul fest. You know, when they get frustrated, they're just fouling to try and get you to quit or to really slow the game down if they're losing. People who start chucking up shots badly and are not really playing. People if they're on your team, they take control or try and take control and they're just hogging the ball. Or the other thing with sports might play is with opponents still running full court press when they're up by double, by 20 or 30. You know, they're blowing you out. You know, they've outplayed you, fair enough, but they're still playing full court press. They're still trying to steal on every inbound. And look, I mean, you compete until the final buzzer and everything, but it gets to a certain point where, you know, you are running up the score. You are not necessarily playing sportsmanlike. You're not holding the ball for the final. You're running up the score. You're not dribbling it out. You're still trying to use all the tricks, the exploits, and inbound steals and things like that. And that also turns people away from the game when you're not really policing that. So it's it brings up the question here. Should there be more rewards for sportsmanlike play? And I think the NCAA football games that EA were doing were trying that a few years back when they were still being made, of course, that if you did things like taking a knee, you know, when you were up big at the end of the game and running out the clock, you got certain rewards. And I think it was a bit problematic. So it's maybe easier to say than to actually implement. But would it be a good idea to actually offer more rewards, like perhaps more VC or XP points for a sportsmanlike play online, you know, to give more of an incentive for people to actually be sporting?
I suppose if they can manage it properly and not, where it's not balanced or, I mean, we've seen their grading logic, so this is where
that's a fair point. Yeah.
Yeah.
What counts? I mean, can you really police things like the inbounding steals and playing full court press when you're up by 30? I mean, you do compete to the final buzzer. That is the point. It is hard to really come against that, but I suppose, yeah, you know, it's again, easier said than done, but it would be great if they could do something like that, where you could get more points for not running up the score, for dribbling out the final, for dribbling it out if you're up by 25 or something and there's 10 seconds left to actually just dribble out the clock, you actually get a team bonus or, you know, a bonus to your grade, a bonus to VC or for the my points or skill points or whatever. But also not just that, but also really punishing players who in random games, random opponents for hogging and for just chucking shots, because if you play well enough to not get graded out but you're still doing that, you're still being a bad teammate. So, and that's been the frustrating thing, like you get a couple of bad turnovers on the canned steals and your teammate grade drops a couple of levels and you end up getting kicked from the game, but then you've got people who are forcing up shots all game and hogging the ball and they get to stick around. And it's again, this is all talking about making the online experience better. So if there's a way to really, really reward sportsmanlike play and good team play, I think and punish it when players are trying to ruin the experience, if they can find a way of doing that, I think the online experience is going to be so much better, because it's people are not going to police themselves. We know how people act on the internet. we run a forum, people. We've seen the best and worst of people online, let me tell you. Easier said than done, but if they can do it, would you be in favor?
Yeah, it's just if it can be done right and well, then yes. But again, it's just I suppose how the AI systems interpret things. Again, going based on the grading logic and that in playing in like the one and or not the one, the micro area and online and that with Pro-Am and that is. When it can't even interpret, if you're trying to do a smart double team against someone, because it'll hurt you with the bad defense, leave assignment sort of thing. If you, especially if you got a CPU player that's not getting the ball because the players who actually use a controller and that are taking like 95% of the, or even like to up to 99% of the shots, and that, so that player is just basically useless in terms of being an offensive threat. So again, it's just interpretation. If they can get it and understand it and have the AI, understand what the hell's going on to grade it, and then yes, do it. Or if it, again, if it recognizes that someone is, I suppose, doing the dick moves, find a way to punish them, in terms of their grading, that kind of stuff. So, fair balance of each way is in that sort of sense. So,
Well, I mean, that is a good point, is that the grading system is shared between online and offline, and getting a balance between online and offline is still a challenge that I think both games are working through to some extent, because quite often we saw this in 2K17 where they'd make adjustments for online play, which would then affect offline play and vice versa. And sometimes they'd end up trying to fix a problem and it would ruin one mode or the other, or both mode, neither mode would actually get better for it, and sometimes they'd get worse. So that has been a difficult balancing act, I think, for both EA and 2K to handle. And yes, that is the disadvantage of the connected modes, is that sometimes certain concepts don't really mix, or it's a different situation, because offline you do want to be probably taking a big role on your team to be grinding for the skill points or VC, or and my points for the experience. So any kind of XP or in-game currency you're going to be grinding for, and you probably want to be putting up some big numbers. So they do need to balance that out a little bit more, and it is difficult, admittedly, to do. But do you, can you even get kicked in the one, in the online modes in the one? I don't think they have. They don't think they have.
No, there's, because there's no foul mechanics, and that you just basically just go back down to a like a 0 score in terms of like how it goes up to like 100+ and all
Yeah,
that stuff
I mean,
now.
you
So
can't get
yeah.
kicked. So, and again, it's the problem with playing with randoms and not a squad. But it's
But again,
inevitable. It's
in
inevitable
those
that you're going
cases,
to.
the one, it's mainly up to 21, or if you plan to. So it's not too long of experience in that sort of sense.
But
So,
5v5 is quarters these days.
oh, true, but in a lot of the live event stuff, you're generally just playing up until about 21.
Yeah, it depends what mode you're playing, of course. But I would just like to see them do something to improve the online play. Now that I am a bit more of an online gamer, or certainly like to play every so often, it is tough to have to encounter this. And there's no real incentive to play better or more of a team game, and no punishment for not playing it. I mean, more so in 2K because you can grade out, but it's still the seems like the grading system is still more towards punishing mistakes that are just kind of happen. It's
Well, sometimes it's not even
it
in
just
your control because it's the animation that was dictated by the CPU, or the CPU control element that ends up screwing you over.
Yeah. So it is easier said than done, but I wish they could find a way of doing it. If it is more incentive that you do get, even if you can get a better, even better teammate grade, that you get even more points, even more XP or the in-game currency to upgrade, however they want to do it. Just finding a way to do that, and if they could also change it so it is more sportsmanlike. And I think going back to the previous topic, it is also a situation of having different divisions, having different matchmaking, and having the casual and competitive settings. If you have different competitive tiers where you're definitely playing people at your own level and playing people who are also have a similar approach to their online play, it might be better. But yeah, until then, there's still a lot of people out to really ruin the experience because they feel the experience is all about them. But when you're playing a team sport, got to share the sugar, to quote Clark Kellogg. Yeah.
If you, those guys want to, sport that's all about them, just play golf, for
Yeah,
heaven's sakes.
play a game that there, play a sport game that is one on one, a one on one fighting game. Maybe a lot of those can play online. They're competitive, but Yeah. So it is a tough thing to do, and certainly balancing between online and offline, I think, is one of those things that both companies really need to do moving forward, because the experience can change so much online. But if you change the gameplay and tweak it for online, it's still the same mechanics offline. So as you end up getting one or the other is not as good as it could be, and that has, I think, really been. It's one of the things that sports games, basketball games in particular, since that's what we're focusing on in our community, have to do. It's that, and also addressing the pain of starting over year to year with an annual release. The two things I think, two of the big things that they need to address are the balance between online and offline, and certainly the way that the experience changes between the two, and also having to start over each and every year, because that can be so painful, as we've talked about before. And that's also become a big revenue stream for 2K at least, so that's probably not going to change, but could be fairer, couldn't it? I mean, it doesn't have to be that way.
And if it ties into your account and stuff like that at your PSN or Xbox Live or even Steam account, and maybe if it recognizes that you've bought so many titles in a row, you can get a slight, you start off at a higher, and maybe even if it ties into your account again, if you play the mode like the My Career mode or and that, maybe it can, instead of starting off at a 60, depending on how many years you played, you could potentially start up to maybe a 75 or an 80, I guess.
Yeah, if you've got in a few years in a row where you've leveled up your player to 90 or 90 plus, then a returning gamer bonus that at least gets you to about 70 to 75. And if they're going to make the upgrades as expensive as they are now in 2K, then they're still going to make some money, because there's still going to be people who pay to get up to 80, 85 straight away. So they can still make their money. And I wrote an article earlier in the week for Monday Tip Off. For starting ratings, and it's was that last week? Anyway, I wrote the starting ratings article, and why they need to be higher. And it was suggested on Twitter, one of our readers suggested on Twitter that reader of the article, I should say, we have listeners on the podcast actually, but it was suggested on Twitter in response to it that. Building off what I suggested, that basically the starting ratings of based on your archetype, the core ratings are higher at the beginning and they're cheaper to upgrade, but everything else is lower. I mean, but more expensive to upgrade. So basically, your core skills and your athletic ratings are fairly decent, or at least NBA average for your position based on your archetype, and they're easier to, cheaper to upgrade. Because it's ridiculous that you come in as for example, an athletic player like a slasher, an athletic archetype like a slasher, and you've got below average. Jumping and speed and everything, because that's ridiculous. Because like that's your thing, and obviously when you come into the league, that you're as a young player coming to the NBA as a young man, you're probably at near the peak of your athleticism, really, because you don't have years of playing basketball on you. You're still young and everything. Maybe you still need to put on muscle or something, and you can do a little bit of work on it. But you're probably going to be as your things like your jumping and foot speed and everything are probably going to be near peak, wouldn't you say, coming into the league as 18, 19-year-old. So when you come in with ratings that are lower than a plodding center who's been in the league for almost 20 years, it's kind of ridiculous. So,
It's like, oh, damn, I'm getting beat by a 42-year-old Robert Parrish on
yeah,
down the court.
absolutely, yeah. Imagine that if Kobe couldn't outrun Robert Parrish in his rookie season. So, by all means, make the core ratings a little bit higher at the start and make them cheaper, because those are the ratings that you can focus on. And I think Live did that a couple of years ago with Live 16, that when they were doing their upgrades that way per rating, that they were cheaper, were they not? The core skills for your play style?
I think so. I admit I would have to go back and play and double
Trying to
check.
remember the community, because it's been a long time since I played Rising Star in Live 16, and the community event, of course. So I'm pretty sure that the ratings were the starting ratings, sorry, the core ratings. Even at the start, of course, they're higher. Live does a better job of that, but the core ratings were you got a discount on those. But anything that was outside of your archetype, was a bit more expensive. Although you could also change archetypes by getting by upgrading certain areas, which you haven't been able to do in games since, really. Which I know a good idea that they should, both companies should revisit there, actually. But make those starting ratings for the core ratings better, make the athletic ratings better, and make everything else more expensive, because that way your player is actually going to feel like an NBA-ready player, like a player who actually belongs in the league. And if the other ratings are still more expensive to upgrade, people are going to want to do that. So they are going to be grinding, they are going to be paying for VC, so you're not going to interrupt that. You're not going to bring that revenue stream to a trickle, so it's still going to work. And it's, you can still have a lot of goodwill and still make a lot of money, and I don't think 2K has been short of a dollar, or virtual or otherwise, in recent years. So I think that it all comes down, as we've said so many times before, it comes down to goodwill and not treating customers like ATMs.
I just had scene from since this came back to mind in regards to 2K, in regards to giving things in return, and the scene where Mr. Burns goes, has anyone got change for a button?
Yeah. Very miserly, it's, in that respect. But, I like to see them continue to improve that goodwill, and goodwill towards us, and also encourage us to have goodwill towards each other. Because there is a certain toxicity in the basketball gaming community these days, and it's not just us, it's kind of an online thing, sadly. But I think they could be doing a bit more to discourage it, and I think sometimes they play into it by cozying up to the elite players and pushing the whole get good crowd. And it's like, well, you know, people have complaints, it's not just because they're bad at the game. Sometimes the complaints are legitimate, you know?
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I guess we can just do the best we can and try to avoid random, at least random opponents are fun to play against sometimes, but random teammates, yeah, that can, well... There's a reason we enjoyed the playground more than Pro-Am the other night, is basically what I'm saying. Speaking of sportsmanship, we're moving on to the NBA now, and we talked about not running up the score and not taking the final shot when you're winning and such, and that was an issue in the real NBA this past week. The Nuggets took on the Celtics, and they won, but Jamal Murray had himself a night, Ben. He scored 48 points.
Yeah. Big night for him in that sense, and yeah, him taking that shot at the end, for me, like, my two cents in it is, if the game's still within play in terms of points, you know, if it's 12 or 15 points or more, you know, in the last few seconds, then yeah, dribble the ball out. But you know, if it's in a margin of, like you say, like 5 or 6 points, then game's still in play, in my opinion. So I think, and from the position from where I saw he took the shot, it didn't appear to be like it was just like, if it goes in, it goes in kind of thing. It wasn't like a serious attempt, in my opinion, that he, like, it was just, because he was like about 2 meters back from the 3-point line.
Yeah.
If he wanted to honestly go for it, he probably would have, and go for a clean 50, he would have probably just gone inside the 3-point line or right on the 3-point line for the 51 and that. So, but the fact that, you know, it was a few minutes out and it was like, should I? So he just sort of just heaved it up and it was like, it was just a let's see what happens kind of thing. It wasn't a serious attempt, like he was trying to attempt a game winner and it was just whatever happens, happens kind of shot. So I think Kyrie was a bit foolish and childish when he grabbed the ball and chucked it into the crowd afterwards, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, and people have also made the fair point, if Kyrie Irving really was cared about it that much, he would have done a better defensive job on Jamal Murray as well.
Didn't Jalen Rose chime in saying, you know, if you didn't want someone to score 50 on you, don't let him score 48, and just coming from a guy that let Kobe score 81 on him.
Yeah, that's interesting take there. Jalen Rose. I mean, look, that's all legitimate, and that's a fair point, is that it wasn't a serious attempt. Like, he could have run in and taken the shot, and you know what? If he had tried to take it to the basket to score his 50 points, and he took a hard shot, as much as I don't condone unsportsmanlike fouls, that would have been a situation where he kind of brought it on himself. Yeah. I mean, I also flash back to situations like Ricky Davis shooting at his own basket to get the triple double. Bob Sura, when he had a little, had a couple of triple doubles in you know, consecutive games, and was going for a third and took a really bad shot at the end to get an offensive rebound, and they actually NBA ended up taking it away from him, which is a bit petty on the NBA's part. I mean, it was still a legitimate shot, but again, these were done in situations where the game was out of hand and people were just trying to pad their stats. It wasn't as bad with Murray, but I still think that the tradition, of course, is that if there's time left on the shot clock, or even if there isn't time, if there isn't ample time on the shot clock, you either just dribble out and get the turnover, or you dribble it out, you know, to the end of the buzzer if you can. So I understand that. And I go back to the situation with Damian Lillard last year with Chris Paul, when the Rockets did take an ill-advised layup at the end of the game when it was basically done and the white flag had been raised, and Lillard, you know, came over and slapped the ball out of Paul's hand at the end. And it was petulant. As I think Kyrie Irving throwing the ball into the crowd was very petulant as well. But I also feel they had a point about running up the score, or doing the done thing, so to speak, or dribbling it out. And it's much like, you know, we're going to talk about Jimmy Butler in a little bit, but the situation with Jimmy Butler in the offseason where he had things to say about Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, but was also handling his business badly. The fact that he was handling his business badly did not invalidate his criticism, and the criticism did not invalidate the fact that he was behaving badly. And I feel it's kind of the same situation here, is that Irving has a point, but he still acted like a child, kind of thing. So nobody is completely in the right in this situation. I do think that is a tradition that should be respected to a certain extent, you know. And even though it wasn't a particularly serious attempt, even that in itself, when the game is basically being called, I think I understand why players take exception to it. So I think it's a situation where maybe it wasn't as bad as other times when they've run up the score. The other situation would be the 76ers and Cavs last year. You remember when the Cavs were pressing? When the game was over, and that got upset about that. And I mean, that had a situation like, well, you were still competing to the final buzzer, so you kind of did deserve to get scored on there by Saric, who we'll also be talking about shortly. I think it's a situation where it's not mutually exclusive. I think Kyrie Irving, again, yes, absolutely, if he cared about it that much, maybe he should have done a better defensive job on Murray during the game. And certainly he could have just... It was a situation where you could have just walked off the court shaking your head and muttering, basically. But yep. you actually went to the extent of, he went to the extent of throwing the ball into the crowd, which, I mean, a basketball is not the most dangerous object you can throw, I suppose, but that's...
You see what happens to your finger if you jar it.
Oh, absolutely. Smack someone in the face or something, break someone's glasses, break someone's nose, hits a little kid. You know, there's a reason that players get fined for throwing the ball into the crowd, you know. So that was not the right thing to do. I think his frustration and anger at the what is not necessarily the done thing is valid, but he certainly handled it badly. And on Murray's situation, you know, probably shouldn't have taken the shot, but as you say, it wasn't the worst thing. But it's it's, I guess, a non-issue at the end of the day. It's something that we'll all move on from, and it's not, they're in the same conference, so it's not really a great rivalry, I suppose, at the moment.
Yeah.
Nuggets and Celtics, although the Nuggets are doing... Nuggets are 9-1. Well, sorry, they were 9-1 after that game. Nuggets are around the top of the West at the moment, so they are doing well. Celtics have struggled a bit out of the gate.
They lost the game that Kenny was at.
They did. So I'm looking at the record that's at the box score of that game that I was looking up. I think in the situation of everyone on the internet wants to take a side, and a lot of people were obviously bashing Kyrie, but I looked at it and thought, well, he's got a point. He just kind of acted like a bit of a dick. He was just a petulant dick, but he had a point. So, and that's hard to admit, that the person who, you know, it's sometimes hard to see or admit, is that the person who is doing the wrong thing does have a point, much like, or that if they do have a point, that they're not necessarily acting right. Again, like the Jimmy Butler situation, that it's... I guess the situation is not black and white. It's shades of grey.
Yeah.
And speaking of Jimmy Butler, he is bound for the 76ers, Ben.
Yeah, that trade came through at about, I think it was about 3:34 in the morning.
It's he got his wish. He's been sitting out a few games for rest, which, you know, we all knew what was going on there, didn't we?
Yep.
But basically, the trade has been to the 76ers for Dario Saric and Robert Covington. I'm just seeing if they got any picks or anything like that.
Yeah, there was a first-round pick, I think. And I think the 76ers also got another player as well.
They got... That's right, I'm just looking that up here. So the full trade is... the 76ers get Butler and injured second-year center Justin Patton in exchange for Saric, Covington. Bayless is also going to the Timberwolves. And a 2022 second-round pick.
Okay.
So they've given up three players, and including one who wasn't really in the rotation they didn't want, and a second-round pick. So, I mean, that's a pretty good deal for the 76ers to get on paper. Saric and Covington are certainly solid players and everything.
Yeah, considering the Rockets were offering four first-round picks.
But, you know, these are tangible assets. I think they're always want to get, unless you're in full rebuilding mode, I think teams do want to get something in return for a star player. And that's, considering they had no leverage because everyone knows that Butler wanted out, that's not a bad deal for Minnesota. And I think the best part of it is they get rid of somebody who doesn't want to be there. You know, one of those addition by subtraction situations, of course, Butler being an immense talent, although attitude is quite poisonous, as we can see. But that is now the 76ers' problem, and that is the question moving forward. Apparently they do have a deal in place or a verbal agreement that he's going to sign. But he's also going to have to get along with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons because... You know, he wants to be the man. He's probably not going to be the man in Philadelphia. He's probably going to be in a similar role that he had in the Timberwolves. Maybe he likes them a little bit better because they're a bit more competitive than Towns and Wiggins.
Yeah.
So maybe he likes that a little bit more. But you look at the situation, and I think Butler has shown his true colors here. And it's actually maybe, even though I don't love the deal that the Bulls did a couple of years ago to get rid of him, I'm not actually that sorry that they moved on if this is the kind of stunts he's going to pull. And this is the situation. The question, I should say, is he going to be happy there? Is he going to re-sign there? It's worth a shot for the 76ers. I think it's not like they gave up Embiid or Simmons for him. But is he going to gel? Is he going to be happy? Is he going to stick around? Is he going to be a team cancer? You know, is he going to bring that toxicity to the locker room? And is he... You know, in a year's time, if he's not happy with the situation, is he going to be resting again? You know, so that is the big question with him at the moment. But at the same time, I think the 76ers, if you have that chance to pull the trigger on that deal, I think you do have to do it because how are they in the standings this year?
They did lose today, mind you. That was with the trade, so they probably obviously couldn't use the players that they were, like Covington and Saric, who obviously, you know, have been key roles and the last 2 years and that, so yeah, I think that trade happened and that
they're 8-6 after that game, so 8-5 coming into the game, so they weren't really tearing up the league like they were last year. Admittedly, the East is pretty even in that regard right now, so yep. they're not that far. Well, Toronto's out 12-1. Toronto was doing really well with Kawhi Leonard. Milwaukee 9-3. Everything else from 3 down to 8 is about even, so they're not that bad. But I think they had higher expectations after last year, winning 50 games, getting to the second round. So it makes sense that they're pulling the trigger on it. Obviously, it makes sense for the Timberwolves because he didn't want to be there. We said that, we talked about it last week, that we didn't think he was going to be there much longer. Once you start sitting out games, the teams are not going to pay you to do that for, you know, they're not going to pay you to quote unquote rest for very long. So we knew this was coming. It just kind of came out of the blue with the 76ers.
Yeah, you're expecting probably the Rockets to still try and have a crack, especially now, given like Melo could be on the way out, whether it be buyout at this stage.
And that's crazy. Like, how long has that experiment lasted? All of
all 12 of 15 games.
All of a month, all of 12 or 15 games, yeah.
I was joking with my mates, like, because our fantasy league and that, and I was saying, you know, could this be the fastest all-star buyout in history?
Well, he went there on a minimum contract. He's actually started a couple of games for them because he was originally coming off the bench.
Yeah, but in terms of, like, you know, how many years he's been an all-star and, you know, an Olympian, you know, he's, like, one of the all-time playing the most Olympics, hasn't he? As an NBA,
possibly, yeah.
He's done at least four, hasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
So, you know, he's definitely been around the track for
15, yeah.
So, and given that he had a huge reputation coming into the league and all that stuff, you know. It's been a bad decline in a lot of ways. But, yeah, just the fact that it's all come down to this now that, yeah. I mean, I know he signed as a minimum and all that, but still, it's like, geez, that's not a good look.
I mean, the Rockets are off to a very ordinary start, and I need to preface that by saying, when we as Australians say ordinary in that context, we'd mean not good, because I've used that in the forum. People say, well, that's not ordinary. I'm like, no. Well, this is like saying I went out drinking last night and I'm feeling very ordinary this morning. We used in a negative context here. They're 4-7, which is... They had the best record in the league last year, so this is definitely below expectations. Losing Mbara Mute and Ariza has been huge, obviously, and Melo has not replaced them at all. 10-time All-Star, Carmelo Anthony, I'm just checking. All-Star as recently as 2017, so it's only a couple of seasons ago that he was still getting the nod, although I think that was a fan vote. But even so, I mean, he was still 20 points per game scorer, putting up kind of around what he's been doing for his whole career a couple of years ago. Did not play well, particularly well last year for the Thunder. Has struggled with his role. They're talking about his role moving forward, so it's not... the divorce hasn't happened yet.
Just in the negotiation stages.
but they may be talking about separation, basically. If we can put it that way. So that's an interesting situation as well. Rockets missed out on Butler. Like you say, we're offering the four first-round picks. Whether he would have been happy there, maybe would have been a better fit. Certainly, I think more of a competitor, certainly, and at this stage of his career, a superior player to Melo, better defender than Melo has ever been as well, I think it's fair to say, with Jimmy Butler. So I can see it working out in Philadelphia. I think he's going to bring more to the table than two solid players to get an all-star player for one solid one. To get one all-star player for two solid players is the better deal. But for the Timberwolves, look, you had to do it. He wasn't playing for them anyway. So he was resting again, inverted commas. So, quotation marks. So I think that's probably the best the Timberwolves were gonna get, given the situation. I mean, when a player does that, the leverage just goes right out the window.
Yep. You've basically nothing to stand on.
Well, you know he's going to be out. He's an impending free agent as well, so
yeah.
The ball really isn't in your court about this kind of thing.
You're basically going to have to take Ralph Wiggum's deal of milk and crayons.
You're really going to be taking cents on the dollar in some respects. But that's... Minnesota are off to a 4-9 start. They've lost 5 in a row after that spectacular performance by Rose. Although Rose is looking very invigorated, so at least he's competing for the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
But that's really torpedoed their season so far, and I think they're probably going to end up missing the playoffs in the more competitive West, unless they can really play better than the sum of their parts. Philadelphia really will need to be turning it around, but it will be interesting to see whether he ends up improving his attitude and sticking around, because otherwise it'll be another process, I suppose, to replace those players with better ones and replace him, ultimately, with somebody else.
That's true.
So that has brought us to the end of episode number 265 of the NLSC podcast. We hope you enjoyed tuning in and listening to a bit of NBA talk, along with, of course, talking about basketball video games. If you have any suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover moving forward, of course, we'll always cover the news week to week and things of that nature, but if there's any other featured discussion topics you'd like us to cover, just leave us a comment or reply in the forum, and we'll certainly add it to the docket. Consider it if we've got something to say about it. There are probably some topics that we might struggle to have anything to say about, Ben. No? We haven't mentioned the NBL this week, although I suppose we just have. But certainly we'd love to hear from you. If you're enjoying the show, if you've got ideas for the show, definitely leave us some comments and reviews on iTunes, of course. If you'd like to subscribe to the show there, you certainly can. You can also find us on other podcatching apps such as Stitcher. Search for the NLSC podcast. Look for our logo. That will be us. Or keep streaming on the NLSC itself. As we always say, as long as you're tuning in and enjoying the show, that is the main thing. You can also connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter, @TheNLSC. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/TheNLSC. We're also on Instagram these days @NLSCBasketball. And of course, the NLSC itself is NBA-Live.com for everything we do for basketball video games. But that is it for episode number 265 of the NLSC podcast. Thank you once again for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And remember, if you're unhappy with the random teammates you found online, don't sabotage the game. Play to the end or get off the court.